Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory.
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins.
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop the QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers, plus schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
On today's Part of My Take, we have our friend Mark Titus on the show. College basketball. We are living after football, so we're doing college basketball talk. We're going to talk a little NBA. We're going to also clean up the NFL, Super Bowl, parade season, all that stuff. We have Bachelor Talk, and because it's Wednesday, Guys on Chicks.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, let's go. Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports. Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by our brand new YouTube channel. Go subscribe right now. We have new videos all the time on that channel. Today is Wednesday, February 6th.
September 6th.
And it is Life After Football.
Yeah. Yes. We finally made it. We were so dead, and we were so, like, we were coming down from the high of the regular season, the Super Bowl being over, that Big Cat announced the show as September 4th.
And you didn't even blink.
And I didn't
and
even
neither
notice.
Neither did
Liam.
Yeah. And Hank was on vacation, so he didn't even hear it.
No, he actually still hasn't heard it yet. This is news. Breaking.
Correct.
Hey, Hank.
No, I listened to the
breaking,
first.
Breaking news. Big Cat started the show by saying September last time.
People actually thought I was doing a bit. It was a completely natural. I didn't even notice until the next morning when people were like, yo, dude, it's February. And I asked you guys, like, no, we didn't even notice either. We just so badly wanted it to be September that we went back in time. But it's Life After Football. We're going to survive. We have college basketball talk. We have NBA talk. We are transitioning, but let's do a little Super Bowl cleanup.
Yeah, so today was parade day, and if you've listened to the show at all, you know we are all about parade estimation numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say like 95% of Boston turned out for this parade again. Would that be accurate, Hank?
Yes. Yeah. All the highways were shut down. Trains were, it was a shit show.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I just want to have a quick intervention with you, then we'll get back to the show. You need to stop posting all these Patriots pictures on the Part of My Take Instagram account. There was just like a picture of Robert Kraft wearing sunglasses, and they're like, check, this guy is a mood.
It was a fresh chain.
He's wearing a necklace.
It was actually a chain from my personal friend Meek Mill.
Yeah. I mean, it's a football. Okay. It is a football podcast, and this was a football celebration.
No, we're an all year, all sports podcast. Let's change that narrative right now.
Mm-hmm. We were posting stuff from the Eagles parade last year. You didn't seem to have a problem with that, PFT.
I didn't actually.
People forget we actually started this podcast in the off season. So we started it before football even started ever.
We started in the month of March.
Yes,
but before March Madness even started.
Correct,
like March 1st.
It's actually leap year.
Yeah, leap year. So. The Patriots parade, Gronk was very drunk and looked like a god because he's got his shirt off. Whenever Gronk takes his shirt off, you're like, man, that guy, He looks pretty good.
He was drinking out of a wine bottle, but I still think it was probably filled with Fireball.
Yeah, or maybe Four Loko.
Yeah, he was just trying to class it up. Yeah, Four Loko's one, right, guys?
Yeah. He was, what else did we have from Parade Day?
Oh, fight. We had the fight. There was like a big fight with all these. See, this is the problem with Boston getting all these parades. It's like if you're in training camp with your own team for a long time, you start to fight each other.
Yep.
These guys have too many parades. They want to hit somebody else.
Yeah, what else, Hank?
Tom Brady made the catch of the year. Someone threw a football. He did like an Odell Beckham one-handed snag. It was unbelievable.
Okay.
He can do it all.
He can do it all. He can make those catches in the big games.
There was
a
picture of Bill Belichick, and there was like light shining
down on
him.
That was actually a cool picture.
He
looked
like God.
That picture was insane. Hank, why don't you recap, too? You were there, not at the game. You skipped the show to watch it on TV because apparently our TVs here don't work. What happened on Sunday night?
I had a ticket to the Super Bowl after party, but I was with like some of my friends from home who didn't have tickets to the after party. I told them, I was like, when I get in, I'll try and figure out a way to get you in. Like, whatever we got to do, we'll do it.
Butter knife days.
Ran into a certain boat, I'll say.
Mm. Blake Bortles.
He was staying in the hotel, and he had access to these passes to help get people in, and he was nice enough to give them to me, and I was able to run them back and forth to get all my friends in, and none of it would have happened without the boat.
That's why he's the best.
He's my hero. He was already my hero, but this was like the security was so tight that we never would have been able to do it without him. But he had like an ultimate super clearance like pass that I was able to just run back and forth, and he saved the night.
I have a hypothetical question for you, Hank. What major sport would you rather have win a championship next in Boston?
Celtics.
Well, no, let me back that up.
Actually, Boston Canucks.
If I were to ask you that question, very nice, before this NFL season, say I asked you that question right after the Red Sox won the World Series, which team would you have said? Would you say the Celtics or the Patriots?
I would say the Patriots just because Brady's window is closing, so like the more he can get in before he retires,
but
the better.
Did you not hear Skip Bayless? Brady's sixth ring actually hurt his legacy.
It did. Because
Skip was
because
on one
money. Reasons.
As the kids say, he was on one.
What was his reasoning for that? That it wasn't like a blowout? Or he had to rely too much on his defense for it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what it was? This one was Belichick's Super Bowl.
Yes.
They should have given the MVP to Coach Bill.
The biggest winner from the parade is Max Kellerman. Because the Patriots were holding Haterade and different like Max Kellerman pictures and punching the pictures in the face. If you're Max Kellerman, you literally, your whole entire life is to get to a point where a championship team like tries to shit on you. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, well, I did my job.
Yeah. I was just a truth teller.
That's the end of the troll cycle. You've just reached the final boss.
Yeah.
And Julian Edelman punching a picture of your face, you have just completed the game.
It is a massive coronation. Like, he's arrived at the Skip Bayless level.
Yes.
Almost. Like, now, don't get me wrong. He's no Skip Bayless.
No.
But he has arrived as, like, the professional sports screamer.
He
now.
Made the leap.
Yes.
Yes, he made the leap. We're talking tier one stuff.
There's also the picture of AWL David Andrews, the Patriots center, with his shirt off, just
loved
looking chonk as hell, living
yes.
life.
Yes.
Amazing.
Listen, dad bods are still in. So, and also, if you win a Super Bowl, you can just take your shirt off at any point.
Do whatever you want. You can just party for a couple weeks, then
whatever
decide
the
if you're going to retire or not.
That is exactly what Gronk's going to do. All right, so the Patriots, I don't really know. Have we heard anything out of, like, the Rams camp? I guess we heard Aaron Donald said that he shut down Julian Edelman. That was, I mean, okay,
yeah,
but
that's
that
about
didn't
it, but he won
happen.
The Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah. Sean McVay said that.
Also, there was some, I need to clarify this because I did have a few people asking me. I know that Julian's a listener of the show. Not sure if he listened to the We Didn't Start the Fire song.
Yeah.
The line was, Julie Edelman's a minch.
Oh.
Not bitch. I did not call him a bitch. So just clarifying
that.
Oh,
interesting.
He probably didn't listen because he was focused on the game.
He was focusing. He was making hype videos.
Mm-hmm. That's right. His hype videos, you pointed this out the other day, they are very well produced.
He's addicted to hype videos. We're going to actually have him on the show in the next couple weeks. I've had that contact with him. And he is, I don't blame him. I'd be addicted to hype videos too if I was a professional athlete and all the hype videos had me in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just basically get to make a hype video for yourself before every big game. That's sick.
What do you think happens with Brady? Well, first of all, Brady said that he didn't like being called the GOAT, right?
Yes.
He came out and said, which only a true GOAT would say.
We got to feel bad for him because he said he'd rather be called trash than be the GOAT. That's sixth round Tom Brady, still in there. But inner Tom Brady.
Here's the thing, though. GOATs eat trash.
True.
Like real actual animals do.
That was the other great moment. Tom Brady's like 4-year-old daughter. How old is she? She had a goat greater than a ram. And it's like, Jesus Christ. They're just talking,
she stole
talking
that
trash
for,
to
she
everyone.
She stole that from my blog yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Plagiarism runs in that family.
So that's the Super Bowl. I don't really know what else. I mean, we have the Combine in a few weeks, so we'll pick up football again there. But for right now.
When's the White House visit?
I don't know.
Yeah, do you think Brady would eat any of the fast food?
There will be some pieces written. I can assure you that.
Yes, there will be pieces.
There will be many pieces.
And posts. There will be posts.
There will be many posts online. So, moving on to Anthony Davis and the saga that is going on with the New Orleans Pelicans and the Los Angeles Lakers doing a little dance, a little tete-a-tete. I don't even know if that's the right thing to say. But they are in trade talks. Now they're out of trade talks. Los Angeles has gotten out of the trade talks saying we don't want to be negotiating against ourselves. And Anthony Davis, this is – okay, follow me along here. Follow along here for a second, PFT. So this is the greatest orchestrated tampering that they're trying to make it look like it's not tampering that I've ever seen in my entire life. Anthony Davis's dad came out and said, these are the teams we don't want to go to. Boston was on it. Then he said, these are the teams we do want to go to. And it was like all these teams that won't, like the Knicks. What are the Knicks going to trade? The Bucks. What are the Bucks going to trade? Outside of Giannis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was basically a list of teams saying, here, we'll go here. But the only reasonable one is the Lakers. And then the Lakers offer all these pieces and then say, you know what? We're going to step out of this because you guys aren't playing fair. When everyone in the world knows that he's going to be a Los Angeles Laker, right?
I think Magic
this
Johnson
might hurt me when it comes back.
Magic Johnson is probably just petrified of being fined again for tampering.
Right.
He's addicted to tampering.
Yes,
he can't stop doing it. So he's in his mind, if he makes a trade offer, that might be construed as tampering. So he's like, he's said his piece, and now he's waiting for New Orleans to respond, at least with like a counter offer of
right.
some sort. Basically, it's going to be the entire future of the Lakers for Anthony Davis. But in the NBA, that type of shit works.
That's smart,
and that's what you have to do. So
correct.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think him and
Rich Paul.
Well, Rich Paul's involved. But I'm going to say, like, who else? Who are the other pieces going to be? Let's dig our hole deeper.
To the New Orleans Pelicans?
No. To the Laker. Who else is going to join LeBron's new super team out
Wade.
In LA? So Dwayne.
Oh,
Wade,
I have a name for you. Ready for it?
Carmelo Anthony.
Nope. I got a name for you. Ready for it? I'm just stealing all Hank's hot seats, cool thrones. This is awesome.
Kyrie.
I'm going to give you a quote. If I want it. Asked if he could still play. If I wanted to, I could, but I don't want to. Kobe Bryant. He said that exact quote,
okay.
Which is so funny, so perfectly Kobe being like, I could drop 40 if I wanted, but I don't.
So Jason Whitlock's prediction about Kobe rejoining the Lakers from 2 years ago
will
come true.
I could get in shape, but I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I could. That's basically, I mean, Kobe, it's just such a Kobe quote, being like dangling it, like, hey, if I want to, if they need me, I could get out there. I could do it.
Yeah, and then the real treat is the little like cherry on top of this tampering Sunday is we finally get LeVar Ball back in the news.
So that is the reason why this trade is basically done in my eyes, because LeVar Ball coming out of the LeBron contract, however much money LeBron is paying LeVar to stay quiet.
Your best boy grip on Space Jam 2.
Right. So LeVar is now out and saying he's a fluffer on LeBron's fluffer.
He's a fluffer on Face Jam 2.
Yes. So LeVar comes out of like the rock he was under, silent for the last 6 months, now saying he wants Lonzo to go to Phoenix. He doesn't want him to go to New Orleans. Basically fucking the whole thing up, and that just tells me the trade's been done because LeVar knows he no longer has to worry about LeBron paying him his hush money.
Yep, I agree with that. Like this is all of a sudden happening because he was dead quiet.
And now he's back.
Yeah, LeBron was dog walking him for a while.
Ooh.
Now he's outside barking again. So the Suns actually would be interesting because then LeVar would try to get all of his sons on the team.
Yes.
So he would just say that it was named after
the Suns,
him.
The LeVar Suns.
He also told, was it Melo, the one that's playing overseas right now?
I don't know where they are.
Melo's back in high school.
Okay.
In Ohio.
Okay, so, well.
Jello. It's just not, he's a free agent,
yeah.
I guess, is what his technical term would be.
Okay.
Well, so I guess to the high school game, LeVar told everybody not to go to his son's basketball game the other night because his son wasn't going to be playing.
Got
so
it.
He's just like, everyone, if you're thinking about supporting this high school, don't come out to the game because my boy's not playing in it.
So whole thing's a mess, but it's going to get figured out by the trade deadline on Thursday.
Yeah, I actually think that the NBA is a better league when LeVar Ball's at, like just barking around.
Oh, yeah.
It's way more exciting.
It's petty worse. Hey, this league, guys.
Mm-hmm.
This league. I actually love the NBA.
I do too.
It always takes me a few days to like get into the basketball mindset, even though I'm still watching. But like, once you get out of football, I got to figure out a way. It's like basically being out at sea for a long time. I got to get my sea legs.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah.
I watched a replay of the Super Bowl last night.
You did?
I watched the replay on NFL Network, yeah.
Trey Wingo would be very upset. We'll get back to that in the segments.
No, he'd be happy.
He'd be happy,
me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, unless you complain.
No, he would smoke me out. He'd okay, be like, we'll bro, let's...
You know, let's just fucking do it right now. Trey Wingo, just chill out, man. Just chill out. And now we're friends with Trey Wingo, and he'll probably hear this.
We're bras.
We're bro, bruh. That was me taking a big hit, Trey. You know what that's about. So Trey is... He went out of control.
Well,
he lost his mind.
In the biz, we call that being passionate, Big Cat. He was passionate about the fact that some people didn't like the Super Bowl when actually they should have liked the Super Bowl.
Yes, exactly.
Shut up! Just shut up! If you don't want to watch, then don't watch. Go watch the Raptors and the Knicks. Go do something else. But don't sit there for four flipping hours with your eyes glued to the game and say, oh, this is so boring, but I can't stop watching. Oh, it's so boring. Just shut the hell up.
Wow, okay.
I mean, give me a break. If you don't want to watch it, then don't watch it. But don't watch the game and sit there and go, oh, I hate it. That's the worst. And you people that did that, you're the worst. The absolute worst. Yeah, Jerry, we'll tell them. I don't want to hear any of that garbage. If you don't want to watch the game, don't watch the game. But don't sit there watching the game and saying, oh, I'm so bored. I can't take it anymore. Give me a break.
Are you doing my bong hit?
I'm going to take a hit.
Noise? No, that's mine, dude. I always do that bong hit noise. You just stole it? There's no fucking...
It's too much water in that thing.
Yeah, and there's also like... What? There's no...
I didn't know that you invented doing the fake
bong
hit.
No, but I've done it like many times on the show.
Okay.
It's just like... I don't know.
I don't
remember. Make a Hitler joke.
Okay. You actually have...
I did.
You've made a lot
I've,
of...
I've
I would
made a
actually
couple.
Say that you've made more than...
I've rebranded Hitler?
In the last 6 months
to my guy?
I have.
Yeah. Yeah. He's no longer your guy?
Yeah, you swagger Jack Hitler from me.
All right, so Trey Wingo, just chill out, man.
Mm-hmm.
He loses his mind, says you can't watch the game and also complain that it's a bad game because then you should just stop watching. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Just chill. Just get back to the Step Brothers references.
I don't.
You know, he should have been more positive about it and said to everybody that sat there with me and watched the full game, did we just become best friends? Let's go do karate in the garage.
I don't. Look, I actually kind of agree with his point that we should never complain about football,
yes.
But like Twitter's basically meant for people to complain.
My favorite part about it, though, was the voice that he was, but I didn't like the game. Like, that's what people sound like when they complain about
it. I didn't like it. I didn't like it, Trey.
Oh, man. My favorite part of the rant, besides that voice, was Golic just staring at him the whole time.
Yes.
Like, just motionless.
Trey, we like you, but just be yourself.
Yeah.
That wasn't you.
Just maybe switch off the sativa. It's giving you too much energy.
Yeah. You need to just chill out.
Back to the indica tray.
Yeah. Just chill out, man. All right, let's do hot seat cool throne. Ready for it? Hank, want to go?
Sure. My hot seat is Carmelo Anthony.
Oh.
Not because of Kobe Bryant, but because of Jabari Parker.
Oh.
Go on.
The Lakers, according to ESPN's Brian Windhorst, the Lakers have discussed trading Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to the Bulls for Jabari Parker.
Yep.
Which would then essentially be the Melo, no defense,
yes.
Forward position.
Yes.
So Carmelo's just going to probably stay out of the league.
Is Jabari still thick?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And he also refuses to play defense, but admits it, so I can respect it. He said it before the season,
they don't
pay me $20 million to play defense.
That's right.
So he's basically just a younger Carmelo.
He is, a little bit. Yeah, he's got he can't score like Carmelo in his prime, but yeah.
Why don't they get them all? Collect them all the guys that don't play defense.
Carmelo hasn't been in his prime in like 10 years.
What they should do?
That's Melo you're talking about. Come on, stay Melo.
Here's what they do. So they're looking to get rid of Luke Walton, right? He's definitely on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah.
So you bring in Carmelo. You bring in Jabari. You've already got LeBron that doesn't play defense. You got Rondo, who's not a big defensive guy. Then you,
when he wants to play off Rondo,
then,
which is the best thing ever because it's like he basically is doing the Randy Moss. I play when I want to play.
Yeah. Then you get D'Antoni back and Steve Nash, and you just run the Suns offense from like the mid 2000s.
Yeah, 7 seconds or less. Love those Suns.
My hot seat was Edelman, but you took that. My cool throne is John.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I forgive you. My cool throne is John Wall. So he tore his Achilles.
All right, so my hot seat is John Wall
Ooh.
And the Wizards.
Ooh.
So wow. The Wizards have they owe $171 million to John Wall in the next 4 years. $171 million.
That seems like a lot.
Seems like a lot. Seems like a lot of money. We're not accountants, but seems like a lot of money. And he tore his Achilles mysteriously at home doing what?
He slipped and fell.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was washing his car. Who was that tore their Achilles by saying they were doing that, but actually they were playing basketball?
Seems, well, it'd be funny if he did it while playing basketball.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been doing that for the Wizards this year.
It's outside of his contract. He's not allowed to play basketball under the conditions of his basketball contract.
So here's my question to you guys. At what point will we find out what actually happened to John Wall?
I think once enough people make really lame Wall in Washington and shutdown jokes.
Yep.
Once he gets sick of hearing all those on The Tonight Show, then he'll probably just be like, just stop. I admit. I was fucking on my stairs.
This is going to be, let's just hope he wasn't like snowboarding or something, or something that wasn't in his contract, because $171 million to have that null and void if he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing, yikes, that would suck for him. Maybe. Escape, he was doing ollies in the driveway.
Yeah, there you go. Bradley Beal came over and sliced his Achilles like in Red Sparrow.
The Wizards, the Zards are a mess. $171 million
hey,
next 4 years.
If you can't get a Wall to work in D.C., just start sending in Tank. Just Tank. Add in the laugh track. Hopefully that'll be the one that gets him.
Yeah. Okay. All right, my other hot seat is Marlins man. Did you guys see that the Marlins are aiming, it's the report, Marlins aiming to boost attendance by improving in-game experience. They're holding auditions for an in-game host, public address announcer, anthem singers, and Marlins mermaids.
Marlins mermaids.
Huh.
Where have I heard that before?
Interesting. So they're just basically taking Marlins man's ideas. He better sue. And I have an additional idea for the Marlins to boost attendance by improving in-game experience. Maybe get some players.
Oh, that's a novel idea.
It feels like they skipped the first step. Like, hey, we want to make it a really fun atmosphere for fans. We don't want to pay anyone and actually put out a professional baseball team, but we're going to get some women with big breasts and put them in the front row, which you already do.
Right. You have that in Marlins Man.
Yeah.
You have a one-man wrecking crew of a production company. And like he is an event planner for every Marlins home game on his own, and he does it for free.
Yes.
Except for the like $500,000 discount you give him on his season tickets. But it basically for free. Do you think Marlins Man's litigious? You think he's the kind of guy who would sue? Does he have any contacts in the legal profession? Oh, he is a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very high power.
Very high power.
They have made a very powerful enemy.
Oh, he should. They honestly should just like basically. What is it? In-game auditions for in-game host, public address announcer, anthem singers, and Marlins mermaids. You essentially just need to give a live mic to Marlins man during the game. That covers everything.
He can cover everything.
He can do it all.
Yeah. We're also looking to purchase a giant statue to put in center field so when somebody hits a home run, everybody thinks they're on acid.
Oh, man. I'm going to miss that thing.
Oh,
it's going to be weird.
Yeah, no, it is weird. I actually liked it.
The one time I see a highlight, like when the Cubs go play three games in Miami, I'm going to be like, man, and then I won't think of them for the rest of the year.
Yeah, with the amount of home runs you're going to be giving up this year, you might as well have some sort of fanfare every time it happens.
Yes. All right, my cool throne, billionaires. Because Howard Schultz...
You stole mine.
He says that billionaires should be referred to as people of means or people of wealth.
Yeah. I actually had my hot seat, racism against billionaires.
That also works.
Which is over now.
Let's be really nice to the people who have that much money. Let's use the right name, people of means or people of wealth. People of means should pay for their own stadiums.
They should. Yeah, bleep that out too, please, because that's pretty offensive. But I actually had an idea about that the other day. For billionaires that want, or excuse me, people of
ways,
wealth, people of wealth.
Yeah. Weens, if you want to combine them.
To pay for their own stadiums. Make it kind of like a crapshoot where both sides have a little stake in the game. Be like, tell you what, if you buy, let's say they're asking for like $800 million worth of public financing. Sure. Buy $800 million worth of lottery tickets for the next drawing. And if you win, you get to keep all that and put it towards your stadium.
I like that.
And if you lose, tough break.
What if we do it this way too? We could just do a coin flip. The people of wherever, say the people of California or people of Seattle, because Howard Schultz, the best part about this is Howard Schultz ruined the Sonics, which is a proud franchise. Shout out Spencer Hawes. But the Howard Schultz should basically be like, let's flip a coin. If I win, you guys pay for the stadium. If you win, I pay for the stadium. Mm-hmm. The most like a $1 billion coin flip.
That would be sick.
Who wouldn't watch?
I would also like to, the lottery thing would be better if they're all scratch-offs.
Yes.
And he had to sit down.
Sit
just,
there?
Yeah.
Basically like Willy Wonka. And yes. You just hire a bunch of kids to just scratch it off for
exactly.
You.
I also like how Howard Schultz is running for president, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I think he's running for president.
Is this the time in the, like, I never remember what time of year everyone just starts running for president at the same time.
It was a couple months ago.
Okay.
So Howard Schultz is running for president, and he's running as a Democrat, I guess, but his whole platform is like, hey, do you hate egotistical billionaires?
People of means.
Well, then vote for me. I'm an egotistical
people
person
of wealth.
Of wealth.
Yes.
So I'm sure he's going to do really well. I'm sure this guy, when you think about it, only one out of our last 45 presidents has been a person of wealth.
Right.
Which is disgusting. It's a great stain on our nation's history.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully Howard Schultz can remedy that.
I hope he runs as an outsider. That's what really gets me going. Whenever the outsiders
just call yourself
a shitload of money. Yeah.
Just call yourself a maverick.
Yeah. Just be like, hey, you know what, guys? I'm on the outside.
Yeah.
A lot of people will be like, yeah, you know what? He is.
Yeah.
that goes for like literally every president we've ever elected has been an outsider.
Was that your cool throne? Or
that was my cool throne.
Okay, that's right. Then I piggybacked on
we're
that.
Doing like a fish jam right now. We're just going into my cool throne goes into your hot seat.
Yeah, it's all one song.
Yeah, it's all one song.
My cool throne is Hangovers.
Go on.
Because you're going to be hungover for a lot longer in New York City. The state health department just outlawed CBD. Being put in food or drink.
What?
So this is really nice. Like you could put CBD oil in a cocktail and get drunk again on a Sunday morning while curing your hangover and just mellow out on CBD. So you're not allowed to do that anymore. They can't
but is weed still legal?
Yeah, you can smoke weed on any corner
okay,
here.
Perfect.
Yeah, but not CBD.
Someone gave me one of those hangover patches when we were in Atlanta, and I don't know if it worked, but I convinced myself it did.
See, I get really bad hangovers, and CBD actually like does help. With hangover, that's it. Doesn't do anything.
I think you convince yourself.
No,
we both convince ourselves.
I've done numerous blind studies.
Got it.
I'm still battling a really bad championship hangover.
Oh,
that's tough.
No,
that's tough.
Jesus Christ, Hank! I feel so bad. Do you want to take a vacation?
Yes. Can I?
Yeah. My other cool throne is dead guys.
Okay.
So all the dead rich guys,
zombies.
Oh,
I should
people
say.
Of wealth.
There's a zombie rich guy in heaven right now.
Ted Williams.
Because no, his head
he's not
is
dead.
Frozen.
He's cryogenically frozen.
He's coming
didn't they,
back.
Like, thaw out that freezer, though? Like, someone forgot to pay the electric bill?
That sounds about right,
and
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, his head's thawed now.
Yeah, well, he's
our
still,
bad.
We still have it.
Yes. It's just...
They just left it in the sink like it was a steak.
Yeah, it's
coming
just a little mealy.
This guy had a bunch of Bitcoin. He ran, like, a Bitcoin exchange or a Bitcoin wallet, essentially.
Okay.
And he died with hundreds of millions of dollars in that wallet. And he was the only one that had the password, so all of his customers that had invested in his Bitcoin service, they're shit out of luck.
So that guy's not dead.
They can't retrieve it.
He's not dead.
Well, I don't know.
There's no way he's dead.
There hasn't
right?
there hasn't been a good fake death in a while.
Did anyone go to his funeral?
I don't know.
There's no way he's dead. I sniff that out right away. He is living it high with. He's probably fucking whales with John McAfee. In wherever the hell they are.
That's the dream, isn't it?
Yes.
Like you steal a bunch of money in cryptocurrency and you just go deposit your loads in a blowhole for
yep.
the rest of your days.
And you just like live life and then every now and then we get super paranoid on some weird drugs,
yep.
tweet a bunch of weird shit, then go back to fucking your whale.
Yep.
We're talking literal whales.
Yes.
People.
No, yeah.
Okay, don't, no shaming. Okay. Let's get to our interview with Mark Titus. It was a rough one.
Yeah, I was about to interrupt. I'm sorry. But
yeah.
We kind of did this before the Marino one. So Titus has been a good friend of ours in the past.
Was a good friend.
Well, I think he's still – he'll probably come back eventually to Part of My Take.
Can't turn your back on him this quick.
No, I don't know,
Hank. That's
what
I'm
saying.
It was that bad.
He will come back eventually to Part of My Take. I think he's still a good guy. We had our differences.
You'll have to listen to the whole interview all the way to the end to figure out. But, like – it was a shitty interview, and it's no one to blame but Mark Titus, pretty much. Okay, let's do it. Before we do that, whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, here he is. I mean,
Mark Titus.
It's Mark Titus. Okay, we now welcome on our good friend, recurring guest. It is Mark Titus from the One Shining Podcast. Great podcast. It is basketball season. Football is over. We are ready to catch up on college basketball. Now, I've been watching college basketball, losing a lot of money, so I have a fairly good idea of what's going on. But we have some questions for you and some, you know, things you need to fill in. And none more important than my first question. Should Brad Calipari's swag be illegal on a college bench?
I have a lot of Brad Calipari thoughts.
Let's go.
I know a lot of white guys that want to be black. Growing up playing basketball, this was, I mean, I dabbled in that for a long time in my own life. If you go back and find any picture of me in 2004-ish, that somewhere around that year, I'm wearing double X everything because I was on an AAU team. I was the token white guy. I said, this is how I'm going to fit in. I have never seen anybody take it to the level that Brad Calipari has taken it to.
It's incredible. His fade is amazing. Yes. Yeah, I don't know who his barber is, but whoever hooked him up with that skin tight on the side, it fades from just skin into like a fully grown, a number three, number two at the top.
Yeah. So people who don't know, Brad Calipari, obviously John Calipari's son, he is redshirting this year, which, whew, thank God for Kentucky. They get another year of eligibility out of Brad Calipari. And he's sitting on the sideline. And usually when a guy sits on the sideline, it's a college student. So he doesn't have a lot of money. But this is Brad Calipari, earned, not given.
Earned, not given.
And so he had one look where he was wearing like a, it was like a turtleneck. It looked like my Barstool Sports Advisors look. Then he had the other day a half and half jean jacket. One half was black, one half was blue. And I just think that it's intimidating to have a guy like that when you shouldn't have that much swag on a college sideline, right?
I want to know what the players think about him. Like, I want to get an honest thought. Like, they're obviously not going to say anything because they're, first of all, college athletes are terrible interviews as is, but they're not going to throw their guy under the bus. But man, I would love for just one of them to be candid and just like, what is the dynamic of that locker room when he comes into the game dressed like that? And it's you want to rip on him, but he's the coach's son. And so you can't really rip on him like you want to. It's all fascinating.
I think if I was on that team, I would just become best friends with him because there's no better job security than being friends with the coach's son, right?
I truly do think it is a plus for Kentucky. Like, I'm not hating on Brad Calipari. I think he is, like, when you show up and you have to play Kentucky, you're already getting an uphill battle because they're a good team, and then you see this guy just mean mugging you with his half black, half blue jean jacket that I didn't even know was ever – I didn't know that was a real thing. So I think it just adds to the whole mystique of Kentucky basketball.
The best part about him being redshirting too is that he still travels with the team. He still warms up or he goes like shoot around. He's still there's literally not you would have if they never announced the redshirt, no one would have any idea that he's redshirting.
Right.
Yeah.
Zero clue.
He's a one man bench mob.
Yes.
Actually, the entire Calipari family, they've been in the news too. So his daughters got into like some beef with Jay Billis. Because Jay tweeted out an article that had a featured image of their dad. It was an article about corruption in college basketball and the investigations of which John Calipari was not even mentioned in the article. The article was not about him. And they went after Jay Billis. So you got to tell me, are you on Team Billis or are you on Team Calipari?
Man, you're making me pick between my parents. It's like the parents are splitting up and I got to pick who I live with here.
Hank took Billis.
Careful. Can I just say before you answer this question, I have nothing but respect for the Calipari daughters because they are ride or die on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm on their good side.
Right.
And I want to stay on their good side.
Yeah, no, they're funny on Twitter.
They're hilarious.
I like them. Yeah.
Yes.
I think so. What's great about both of these is that they're both leaning very heavily into the brand that they occupy, which is like the Caliparis The way you kind of handle this would be just to not care. You're just like, oh, that's unfortunate that our dad was in this picture. But almost by it's like a Streisand effect thing. Like almost by bringing it up, and you're shouting at everyone. No one has any evidence that my dad has ever cheated. You're like, well, we weren't really talking about that until you brought it up. But now that you mention it, it is weird that, you know, No one's talking about you. So that one's a Calipari family move to always be on the defensive with that stuff. Meanwhile, on the other hand, Billis, I don't know if you saw this, like one of the Kentucky fans replied to his tweet and said, this is classless of you. And the very first thing he said in response was, don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
To a Kentucky fan. And that is classic Billis as well, which is like just unapologetically, I am condescending. I am smarter than you. I went to law school. I went to Duke. So I love it both. Like that's why I can't pick it, because we need these characters in college basketball. We need Jay Billis. Like anytime a player is, you know, a player could punch his coach in the face and be suspended for the first 4 minutes of a game, and Billis would be on Twitter, this is absolutely wrong in all caps.
Right.
Like what happened to players' rights? Yeah. And, you know, I just love guys that just like, you know, they know their shtick and they stick to it. And so I guess I'll lean towards Billis because he's more powerful than Megan Calipari in this situation. Billis can help my career more than Megan Calipari can. So
I don't know about that.
So here's the thing. Like, yes, you're right. It was like a Streisand effect thing where they drew more attention to it, but they also drew more attention as to how badass they are. So, like, if anything, that's like a warning shot to the NCAA. You come at my dad, you're going to get dunked on Twitter by me and all my sisters. So,
that's a good point.
Yeah. I like this. Can you talk real quick about – I'm going to do a talk about – but this Kentucky team, because I like them, and they are – I've watched them a few times, and they're nails. Like, at the end of games, they turn it up a level, and you're like, man, these guys are really good. They did it against Kansas. They did it on the road against Florida. Like, Kentucky's always good, but it feels like this team has a little extra, you know, we can be in tough moments and still survive.
This Kentucky team is what Kentucky fans think every Kentucky team is, which is they're young at the start of the season, and it takes them a little while to figure it out, and then they actually do sort of figure it out. And that is, I mean, obviously everyone remembers they got smoked by Duke, and I think smoke is not even strong enough of an adjective of what happened to that. They were humiliated. But yeah, man, they're coming around. It is very strange because I think a lot of people just kind of swore them off, and certainly in the college basketball media, I think people are starting to recognize what's happening at Kentucky. But it really feels like people aren't talking about Kentucky a lot, which is shocking because every other season, it's like Kentucky and Duke are the only two teams that everyone talks about. And it's like Duke killed them on the first day of the season, and everyone just kind of pushed them to the side and said, all right, so we don't have to worry about Kentucky the rest of the year. And they're coming around, man. Like all their guys are playing well. I love PJ Washington. I hated Tyler Hero at the start of the season. Oh. Like I went to the Duke Kentucky game. Yeah. You really hate that kid, right?
I mean, he's from Wisconsin, and he's just like a stone cold killer, and he plays for fucking Kentucky.
And he committed to Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's brutal watching him just kill people. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, it's not that important.
Well, I wanted to go off what you were saying there with people aren't talking about Kentucky. I have a theory. This is actually like one of the deepest seasons we have in terms of teams that I could see winning the Final Four. But because of Duke and how must-watch they are in Zion, no one's really paying attention to Tennessee, Michigan. Villanova's come back from the dead. Kentucky, Virginia, like Kansas always lurking. So I feel like this is the season that there are so many good teams, but everyone only wants to talk about Duke in their quest for an undefeated season.
Right. Duke is, yes. Duke is better than everybody, it feels like, right now. I know Gonzaga beat them, but I would say so. It's become a big thing in college basketball, the tier stuff. I don't know who started it, but you just start throwing out tiers. I think, like, the guys at ESPN started it, is you throw things in tiers. And I think Duke is at the top tier, although they do play at Virginia this weekend, and that could get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get the rematch of that game. I would say, like, Virginia – I like Virginia and Gonzaga. They're both up there with them. And then I think, like, you get to tier three where, like, Tennessee and Michigan. Like, Tennessee defensively has kind of let their foot off the gas a little bit. They started feeling themselves a little bit. I do really like them. If anyone who knows anything about me and my feelings on Tennessee, I've been singing their praises all season. I'm just slightly worried that they peaked too soon, to borrow a phrase. But yeah, Duke's definitely the best team. They deserve. I mean, for God's sakes, like Duke is still the heavy favorite to win it, and then I think the team that has the second best odds in Vegas is Gonzaga, and it's pretty much because Gonzaga is the only team to beat Duke at full strength. So it is sort of a Duke versus the field thing, which is terrible because that means Duke is definitely going to win the national championship.
Yeah,
Duke's
year.
Yeah, but then no way they're not going to.
You can like Gonzaga, but until Mark Few makes a Final Four, I don't know if we can really buy into what he's building out there. Big Cat obviously pays more attention to college basketball before the end of the NFL season. I just have to force myself to do a complete flip over. I've paid attention a little bit, but I want to know, like, obviously I know all the blue bloods that are good this year, but if I'm keeping my eye on a mid-major going into March, give me two mid-majors that you think are capable of making the Final Four at this point.
All right, so here's the mid-major you're going to love, PFT. A team called Wofford. They are the Wofford Terriers, and here's what you need to know about them. Their leading scorer is named Fletcher McGee. You might have heard about this kid. Mm-hmm. He shoots a lot of threes. He's a white guy, spoiler alert. And their leading assist guy is named Storm Murphy, and he's also a white guy. So that's their backcourt is a guy named Storm Murphy and Fletcher McGee.
Storm Murphy sounds like a porn star.
Yeah. It's a team that like pops up. Like if you pay no attention to college basketball and you're suddenly like turning on the TV in March and you see a team of two white guys named Storm and Fletcher that are like torching Kansas, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
it's very confusing. So that's a team. I'm giving people a little heads up before that comes around. And then, I don't know, like San Diego State still has Mike Dom.
North Dakota State.
Or South Dakota State.
I said San Diego We're all over State. The yeah, place. South yeah.
Dakota. Yeah. I have Dom. SD State in my mind. Yeah. It's yeah. South Dakota State. Did I say San Diego? That's embarrassing.
You said San Diego State. Yeah. And I got you close to the Dakotas because Mike Dom does fill it up. I just got the wrong Dakota.
He is back. He is about to score 3,000 points. As you can tell, he's not on the forefront of people's minds. I fucked up the school that he plays at. But he's a killer. And, he went vegan. This was the concern about him though. Ew. He goes vegan this summer. Pass. Yeah. And then they play in Canada and he gets his ass handed to him. And then there's like a quote right before the season where he's like, I made a huge mistake going vegan. he's like, I need to fix this immediately. And so he started eating meat again, and I think he's doing well this year.
My one problem with Wofford, and this is a dumb brain problem, they start with a W, same with Wake Forest, same colors, and I think they're South Carolina and Wake Forest is in North Carolina, so I always confuse them. That's just my one, like, I can never get into Wofford.
That's actually interesting, yeah.
Like, I always just think Wake Forest, same font, silver, or no, gold and black. It just fucks me up.
How do you
respond
to that analysis?
Here's my counterpoint if you're doing dumb brain stuff.
Yep.
So everyone got excited about UMBC because they were the Retrievers, and you could tweet dog gifts and be like, how cute are these good boys? Wofford is the Terriers. They are lending themselves to like a cosmic run where the internet wills it into existence where people can tweet gifts of dogs again. Ooh,
I need to know what type of terrier, though. Is it like the Something About Mary terrier? Because there are a lot of gifts out there with that.
I think it's a Boston terrier.
A Boston terrier? That's pretty cool, too.
I believe so.
That was my favorite move during Hank. Yeah, that was my favorite move during the UMBC run last year. People get excited and tweet like Golden Retriever stuff. And then the hardos that would respond and be like, it's actually a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, not a Golden Retriever. You're like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks.
They like water more. And they like cold. They can break ice with their chests. That's a fact about the chesses that I know. So we're best friends with Buzz Williams now. I'm not sure if you know that or not. Mm-hmm. I was watching them play the other night against Louisville, and something interesting happened at the end of the game. They were down by 8 points, and Buzz elected not to foul because an 8-point loss factors less. It's a better loss than if they lose by double digits. If you look at how the computers sort thing out. Now, is this something that's been going on for years, and I'm too dumb to have known about, or is Buzz Williams, has he figured out a way to disrupt the computer system?
He's ahead of the curve. So this is the new metric that they have is called like the net. They got rid of the RPI. They basically just like threw the RPI into a blend, like a sausage grinder, and ground it up and then turned it. And then they called it the net. And it's basically the same thing, but it's supposedly better. long story short, they, part of the new metric is margin of victory up to like 10 points or up to 20 points or something like that. And an 8-point loss is better than a 10-point loss. And so that sort of stuff like matters. And I don't know how much it actually matters, but the stat nerds have gone too far. And Buzz Williams it was actually kind of smart. Like it totally makes sense. And it does actually matter for the net ranking in the end. It's just hilarious that's what you're seeing is like he called time. I think they were down 11 with 20 seconds left.
Yeah, they hit a three.
Drop a play.
Yeah, they hit a three and then they didn't foul. And it fucks up anyone who bets over-unders in college basketball because one of the greatest parts about college basketball is the scrub who just keeps fouling when they're down 10 with like 10 seconds left and you get free throws that are just so pointless. And that's how you get like.
They're called walk-ons, big cat.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. And you get like 35. My favorite thing about college basketball is you have a game be trending under all game and you have 35 points in the last 90 seconds. And you'd be like, wait, how does that make sense? It's just free throws and guys chucking up threes. Mark, I want to give you maybe a minute here to talk to us about how this is the year Virginia is going to win it all because actually it's not bad offense. They're totally efficient and it's not going to bite them in the ass when they can't score a basket late in the tournament.
This is the worst. This is the worst because this is the worst show to have it be. Cause like, God damn it.
You love Virginia.
I do love Virginia.
I'm interested.
I do love Virginia. And the problem is that this is literally the worst show to try to make a serious case. I actually believe in Virginia this time. Honest to God, hand to God.
Wait,
their
this year
is better.
Wait, are you actually being serious? Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I just make sure. Okay.
God damn it. This is their year. I don't know if they're going to win. Their offense is better this year than it has been every year. And I know that we say that every year. God damn, I'm not even going to stop. I just give up. I will say this.
Dude, it's every year. It's every year.
But your beloved Villanova Wildcats, everyone said the same thing until you gave them the big cat bump.
That's true.
Can you please just do this for Virginia?
I could.
Poor people have... Yes, what they need.
You are right. In 2015, I said Villanova would lose in the second round, and they lost to NC State, and Villanova fans hated me. And then the next year, I said, this is the year I believe. And I took them. I put them on my back, Kirby Puckett style, and brought them to a national championship. So I'll think about it. But at the end of the day, I want Tony Bennett to come home to Wisconsin. So maybe I won't do that. Maybe I'll just keep watching them lose in hilarious ways. Virginia is Wisconsin. They're just a little bit better and higher profile because they play in the ACC and they're always ranked a little higher. So watching them fail is so funny. It's like a reminder for Wisconsin never to fly too close to the sun. Like we never want to get too good because then we'll be a total joke like Virginia.
So it sounds like I can't believe Tony Bennett doesn't want to come to Wisconsin when the most notable alumni is calling this program a total joke.
No, it's not a total joke. Hey, listen, this actually goes perfectly to my next question about the Big Ten. First, do you believe in KenPom?
I used to, and then idiots started. Yeah, well, the problem it became gospel, and people stopped thinking for themselves, and they were just like. This team is number one, and here's why. And then we just link to KenPom, and then KenPom ended college basketball debates for like 2 years.
Okay,
so you like KenPom before really, it was cool,
yeah.
And now everybody shows up to the party, and you're like, you like KenPom? Name three other albums.
Okay, so here's a tip, though. Here's a tip: use KenPom when it helps your point, and then just completely disregard it when it doesn't back it up. And that's where I'm coming to with. There are 4 Big Ten teams in the top 11 of KenPom. I used 11 because Wisconsin's 11. It's an arbitrary cutoff. I don't care. Will this finally be the year that the Big Ten can break the drought? Are we counting? No, Maryland won before
Michigan
State.
Maryland won in
02. Yeah. No, so we count Maryland. So 02, it's been all the way since 02. Is this the year that we can finally stop this drought? And get back into the national championship.
The great part about the Maryland thing too is that they beat Indiana, which kind of started the drought. Because part of the drought isn't just that we're not winning national championships. Because the Pac-12 does that.
The Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. Well, I have that written down. I said, hey, remember the Pac-12? That's one of my questions. We'll get to it.
The part of it isn't just that we're not winning. It's that like every goddamn Big Ten program has made it to the national championship and lost.
Yep.
And I'm not really sure what the psychology of that is or how to fix that.
It's bad.
So I don't know, but we don't have, I don't think there is a team. I don't think the Big Ten has a team good enough to win the national championship they're here.
What about Wisconsin?
Wait, Big Cat, back up. Haven't you not allowed Maryland into the Big Ten yet?
No, in basketball.
No, that's very interesting.
No, I'm very clear.
But you're gonna claim their title that they won when they were an ACC school as a Big Ten title now.
Yes. I've been very clear from the beginning.
In the future.
That Maryland basketball is in the Big Ten. Maryland football, Rutgers football, and Rutgers basketball still not
in. Including all their wins from before they were in the Big Ten. Retroactively, they're now Big Ten.
You're doing the gotcha thing?
No.
I am very open that I move the yardsticks as how I want to.
I'm getting on the same page because we've never had this conversation.
Okay. Yeah.
But if you want to talk about Big Ten.
Nebraska's national titles count for the Big Ten in football.
Perfect. I get that.
Yeah.
But if we're looking at the Big Ten, you mentioned it. Michigan State, now we're going on 18 years since they've last won a title. How close am I to my Tom Izzo is overrated take to coming true?
The jury's still out. We need to see more. I mean, like Tom Izzo I don't think he's overrated. I think he's good. I think the fact that everyone else is sucking. I think Tom Izzo being able to say I'm the last coach to win a championship in the Big Ten is like a feather in his cap.
That's true. Like that. Actually, I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I did the impossible. I led a Big Ten team to a title.
Okay. So tell me the Big Ten team that could come closest.
Well, I mean, it's obviously either Michigan or Michigan State. I know Purdue fans are going to get really upset that I said that because Purdue is like right up there.
10 in KenPom,
Purdue's playing well. I like Purdue. They have Carson Edwards, who's probably the best player in the Big Ten. But I think it's got to be Michigan State or Michigan. And Michigan State is just not talented enough, I don't think. Like, none of the – they have like zero – I mean, Cassius Winston will probably play in the league a little bit. But outside of that, I don't think they have enough talent to kind of – they could get to the Final Four, but they definitely – like, I don't trust them against – you know, if they get to the Final Four and they got to beat, like, Duke and Gonzaga back-to-back, I don't think they can do that. Michigan is interesting, but their offense is horrible. Their offense is, like – they play great defense. They have maybe the best defense in the country, but – They are so disjointed offensively, and it gets very, very ugly. I mean, for God's sakes, their point guard's like their best player, and he's got one shot, and it's like a running hook shot off the glass. and their second best player is probably Charles Matthews, maybe. I don't know. And he can't shoot threes to save his life. And it's just their offense is an absolute mess sometimes, and so I'm worried about that. But that's why I don't think we have any shot, because like the rest of the teams are the teams that are good enough to fuck it up for someone else, but not actually win it, you know?
Wisconsin, what would you say? I'm thinking maybe a 52-48 first round win and then like a 55-51 second round loss.
Yeah, it all depends on the momentum Wisconsin has going in. Like if this is supposed to be a good Wisconsin team by the time the tournament comes around, they're fucked.
Yep.
It's just like they limp towards the finish line. They lose in the first round of the Big Ten tournament to like Illinois or something. And then they get like a 7 seed. That's a dangerous Wisconsin team.
Yes. And Ethan,
that's a team I want no part of.
You love Ethan Happ. He is maybe the most confusing player to watch play basketball, because he's like from 8 feet in, he's maybe the best basketball player to ever play the game. And then from 8 feet out, he looks like he's never actually touched a basketball.
The way I describe Ethan Happ, and I've used this joke before or this observation before, but it's okay. I'm going to do it again because it's the only thing that makes sense to me, is he is the guy when you're creating a player on a video game and you forget, like, whatever year it was where they started, like, putting a cap on the number of skill points you can use on your creative player.
Yep.
Like, back in the day, you used to be able to just max out everybody. Ethan Happ is the guy, like, that first year where they had the cap, where you go create a player and you're starting to put 99 on everything, and then you run out of points and you're like, what the fuck is that? And like jump shot is his last category, and he has like a zero jump shot. He's got 99 everything else. And then you're like, well, screw it, I'll be fine. And then you just say, go ahead with the career, and then you play. And that's Ethan Happ. That's the only way I could describe his game.
That's perfect.
He's great at everything else. He can't shoot the ball to save his life.
That's perfect.
I like that. Serious question. Is Louisville being ranked number 16 and being kind of good damaging to Rick Pitino's legacy now that he's no longer there?
We're still in the window where he can say, like, these are his recruits or this is his foundation, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Fill the window where you're just like,
they're Adidas' recruits. Program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say this is good for him. Anything that happens in the next couple of years is like, I brought that for you guys. You're welcome.
What do you think?
We're still in that range.
What do you think about all the talk about Rick going out to UCLA? You think there's any fire where there's that smoke?
That would be fantastic. Realistically, it's not going to happen, but that would be like the greatest thing ever if he went out there. That would be – I mean, that is the Darren Rovell, I feel sorry for UCLA fans, but this is tremendous content of college basketball. That is exactly what that would be. But no, there's no way it's happening. I think he is going to get a job eventually, though, because, like, I mean, colleges are shameless and they'll hire it, but he's not going to get like a power conference job. He's not going to get a relevant job, but he'll pop up somewhere. He's gonna go to some tiny ass school, and someone's going to write the article, like probably Dickie V, about how Rick Pitino he's changing his image and
yep.
and all that kind of shit, and he's on the path to redemption and all that, and I'll eat it up.
No one loves anyone more than Dickie V loves Rick Pitino. It's unbelievable.
Nobody.
It is unbelievable. All right, so let's get to the question. Do you remember the Pac-12? Like, what's
up? Pac-12. Oh my god, I think they're soft, dude. I think like I'm okay with saying this because like I've been spending more time in Los Angeles. I've spent extended periods of time to where like when I'm around. When I'm in Ohio, I can now say that I tell people that I live in it. Like, you know, back in LA, here's how we do it. I've become that pretentious asshole in Ohio. So I've spent enough time in LA to know that the West Coast, they're soft. That's really all it is. Like, I became soft when I went to LA. I was there for like 2 months this fall. The weather's perfect in LA. I come back home and it's like freezing balls. And I was like just crying every day. And I was complaining about the polar vortex almost killed me. I couldn't handle it. And I'm just thinking about it, like, if I'm that, just imagine people like being born and raised there, and this is a real thing. I'm doubling down on the Pac-12 is just soft. Their only hope is to like import kids from the East Coast, but even then, like, these kids get out there and you just, I mean, who wants to go to UCLA and like be in a gym all day every day and work on your game?
Right.
No, that's not why you go to UCLA. No.
No.
Come on. That's my theory. Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks too, because I love Pac-12 basketball just because it's the late night basketball. So it's, you know, mm-hmm. everyone watches it. It's the last thing on, especially if you're chasing bets, but mm-hmm. There are no good teams. Like Arizona State every now and then, UCLA. Okay. Every now and then Oregon, maybe a little bit, but like for top to bottom, they just all kind of stink.
Washington is okay. Maybe this year. They're rolling through the Pac-12 right now, but it's just their non-conference. Everyone in the non-conference was so bad. I don't know. Like Washington really might be the only team that makes it in if they win the tournament.
It's crazy.
Isn't that kind of good though for Sean Miller at Arizona? Because if the Pac-12 was good, if Arizona was good, there'd be way more heat on him. Right now, somehow he's still the coach there, and I don't think that he's going anywhere anytime soon, despite the fact that like. Last year, he was about 12 hours away from getting shit canned. Is he actually going to like survive this thing?
I don't really think there's. This is the classic. It's hard to say. I don't really think there's like no one. I found out that nobody actually knows anything about any of this stuff. All the people that are reporting on it have no idea what's going to happen in these trials and stuff. But yeah, he's probably going to survive because Arizona has the number one recruiting class next season, which is the funniest part about all the FBI stuff is like three of the schools that were caught up in it all were Arizona, USC, and Louisville. And I'm pretty sure those three schools are the top three recruiting classes next year in college basketball, which is just, it couldn't be more perfect, honestly. So I'm sure he's going to be fine. I'm sure USC, like, that's the genius. I mean, Lorenzo Romar survived on the West Coast for like 10 years longer than he should just because he kept dangling the carrot of next year's recruiting class in front of Washington. They're like, well, we can't fire him now because he's got next year's class coming in. And I think Sean Miller is going to do that for like at least 5 more years.
That works.
And then finally they'll just give up on it. Yeah.
That's a lot of sweat.
All right. My last question. It's a SeatGeek question. Put in promo code TAKE. Go to a college basketball game this year. $10 off your SeatGeek purchase. Promo code TAKE. We mentioned Tennessee. They're currently ranked number one, and I have to ask you the question because this is how I feel about them. Rick Barnes, he stinks in the tournament. And I know like the people will be like, well, he actually overachieved when he was a lower seed. Well, guess what? Tennessee's going to have a pretty high seed this year. Tell me change my opinion that Rick Barnes doesn't stink in the tournament?
I can't do that. I would say if you're trying to, like, I don't have any faith in Rick Barnes in the tournament. I have faith in their Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams. Like, they're two best players who are awesome guys and play their asses off and are a ton of fun to watch and play defense. I don't know. Like, Grant Williams is basically Tyler Hansbrough. What everyone thought Tyler Hansbrough was is who Grant Williams is. He's unbelievable. He's just a fucking workhorse and just, like, I don't know how to describe him if you've never seen him play. For me, if you're a fan of the college game, he's like must-see TV. And then Admiral Schofield's a ton of fun too. So I really like those guys. They play great defense. They have great leadership, all that kind of stuff. But I can't, you know, Barnes' history is well documented. I mean, the man got smoked by USC in the second round with Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine.
Yep.
That's tough to overcome.
Yep. Well, so if you're Texas right now and you had a magic lamp, would you rather have Rick Barnes as your head coach again or stick with Shaka?
Oh, for real. For sure you'd rather have Rick Barnes.
Because that town hated Rick Barnes when he was there. Like the last two or three years, they wanted him out.
You don't follow college basketball that closely. So this is a good way for me to test this.
Thanks, Mark.
And see if it's true. I don't either. It's okay. How many Sweet 16s do you think Shaka Smart has been to in his career?
Two.
As someone who, the answer is one.
Okay.
But
is that,
Havoc,
but it was a good
wait,
scene.
But you forgot about Havoc.
That is true. You could have a hashtag.
Havoc. If you did, that's the thing. If you go to a Sweet 16 as an underdog, people will remember it forever. Anytime George Mason pops up, they're like, "Oh, George Mason." Well, they went farther. But if you have a style that is different, like Havoc, where you full court press all the time, people will just give you like six Sweet 16 appearances.
Yeah. Shaka Smart invented the full court press.
Right.
And the reason I asked PFT because I feel like the general public thinks that Shaka just went on these runs at VCU and was great and it's like hilarious to look back and just be like, oh, this dude had one good year. It was him and Brad Stevens were like the two hottest things that have ever happened to college basketball. And as it turns out, he had one year.
I just remember that he had a couple good teams. I think he had like three good seasons, but he had that one run. But you're right. It's like Jim Larrañaga. I'll always believe that he is like a top five head coach.
Loyola Chicago.
Because he took George Mason.
Yeah, Loyola Chicago for the next 10 years. People are like, watch out for Loyola Chicago. Yeah. Like that's right, what happens when you make a deep run as a team that's not in the major conferences.
Mm-hmm. And the best part about the VCU run too is that they shouldn't have even got in the tournament in the first place. They had to play the play-in game and it was like controversial that they were even in there. Dickie V was like crying on TV. I forget who got left out. Probably Syracuse because of him and his buddy Jim Boeheim didn't get in. I don't remember who it was, but they shouldn't have even been in. And then they made it in and he wins four games or whatever it was.
He went to the final four,
And that's it.
Yeah. That's what happens. That's what happens when you have a small school and you go far and you have a hashtag.
Also, I think that the fact that Nick Wright looks so much like him and he's always on TV, that kind of bumps the profile up for Shaka Smart.
True.
Also, just a cool name.
That is true. All of these are very true, yeah.
I wanted Shaka to also come home to Madison, Wisconsin. Just bring all the coaches that really can't win a big game and just be like, yeah, we'll take it. Fuck it. Who cares?
It's like the A team of B team coaches.
Tony Bennett and Shaka Smart will be co-coaches of Wisconsin, and we still won't win a national title.
The score will be 12-13.
It'll be great.
Oh, that's good. That'll be good.
Last question. Kansas, they do this every year.
No.
What?
They're horrible this year.
But they're still going to win the Big 12.
They'll still win the Big 12, but the Big 12 isn't as good this year. Kansas is not good.
No.
Kansas fans will tell you they're not good.
I know, but they do it every year where they just I feel like this is Kansas. Everyone says, oh, Kansas, maybe not. And then they win the Big 12 and they get a 1, 2, or 3 seed. And then they might win a couple games. And then Bill Self's little pouch of losses grows a little bit bigger. And he looks sad on the sideline. And what's his name? I fucking hate that guy. He can't shoot free throws at all. Uzbeki. No, what's his name?
Azubuike.
I've never seen someone, he puts so much spin on a free throw shot. It's like he's intentionally trying to miss.
Coming from a guy who loves Ethan Happ, this is crazy.
Okay, well, Ethan Happ tries for the free throws. He doesn't put spin on it to see if I can get it off on a weird angle.
Here's my take that's going to endear myself to Kansas fans, and they're going to love me for saying this. I don't think Kansas wins the Big 12 every year. I think Kansas fans win the Big 12 every year. How about that one?
I think Fog Allen
Fieldhouse wins the Big 12 for Kansas every year. It's impossible to win in there. And so they go into every Big 12 season knowing that they're getting 9 free wins just by virtue of playing in Fog Allen Fieldhouse.
I like that.
Right? And so, like, their team sucks this year. Like, if you switch the home court, if like, Kansas had to play in Baylor's arena every single night, they're not winning the Big 12 this year. But the Kansas fans, goddamn it, they're going to will into victory. So this team is not good. I don't like this Kansas team. Before they started having, like, Azubuike was out for the year and all that kind of stuff. And, like, Gerald Vick's, like, their best player, but he's, like, Bill Self didn't even want him. Like, literally kicked him off the team after the season last year. He said, go to the NBA. And Gerald Vick's like, but I'm not going to get drafted. And he's like, go anyway. And he's like, okay. And then Bill Self looked at his roster and he's like, wait, Gerald, come back. We need you. And then he's been suspended, or maybe not suspended. He's not started some games. It's a whole fucking mess, dude. I could talk about Kansas all day, but this team is definitely different. They probably will win the Big 12, but do not believe in them as like a typical Kansas team.
I do like that take, though. You'll never have to buy another beer in Lawrence.
Yeah.
I never have to buy another beer in Lubbock, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's a dry county.
True. Give me one last gambling trend, because you gave me one a few years ago, which always works, the back-to-back mountain games, when a team has to go play Utah and Colorado in the same weekend. So Thursday, Utah, Saturday, Colorado. It actually happened, I think, this past weekend. Colorado killed someone on Saturday on a back-to-back. But what's another trend that any of our degenerate listeners can use for betting on college basketball?
I don't know, man. I don't gamble.
Come on. So you know.
You need to start gambling, Mark.
Yeah.
It's honestly weirder that you don't.
It kind of is. I feel very left out that everyone, this is like the thing. I wouldn't even, I don't know. I can't even fake it, to be honest with you. That was the one nugget I had, was that. I gave you all my secrets, yeah.
Could you make the argument, though, if you play the second night of like a high-altitude game, your body's acclimated to it?
No, you get more tired. College kids, after all.
Here's what I'll say. I've always liked teams that have a really good guard and defense in NCAA tournament play. Mm. So that is most of the good teams. A lot of people will roll your eyes and be like, well, thank you. You just named all the best teams.
Senior guards.
If a guy, I want a guy who is going to play in the NBA, who I can look at and be like, that is an NBA guard.
Ooh, yep.
If you have an NBA guard that you can throw the ball to and be like, our offense sucks, please go score for us. And then you also play great team defense. I trust you more than a team that, you know, I don't know, centers around a big guy or is like offensive minded.
Okay.
So that's my gambling advice.
Brad Davidson.
Again, that probably applies to all the best teams, but
I love that guy.
Yeah. NBA guard.
I have one last question. Who's the guy that I should start hating already?
This is a great one. I mean, Alex O'Connell on Duke, is he not hateable enough?
No.
Yes. Absolutely right? not.
Hank's best friends with him.
Absolutely not.
Hank's best friends
Maybe
with
the
him.
Most lovable player in the NCAA.
I feel like that's a cop-out answer on your part, though, just to name like the white guy on Duke with a punchable face.
He's also good.
But the it's not always the white guy on Duke. It's like, because like Jack White is a white guy on Duke, and I really like him. And I think he plays hard, and he's really good at what he needs to do for that team. And I don't have a problem with him. It's like Alex O'Connell's haircut. Hank, are you really friends with him?
Yeah, best friends. He recently got a haircut, too.
Breaking news.
This is incredible. The answer definitely has to be Alex O'Connell then, right?
Yeah, I think it has to be Alex O'Connell now.
By way of his association with Hank.
Yeah, it's just because
we'll take that smoke.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, Mark, thank you. One Shining Podcast. Everyone listen to it. He co-hosts it with – actually, no, Tate's the host, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. Tate tees me up, and then I provide all the hard-hitting analysis, yeah.
So, Tate, so. Hosted by Tate Frazier.
Listen to Tate Frazier's podcast.
Mark Titus, One Shining Podcast.
Yeah. Hey, can you guys do me a favor? So, I was listening. I was catching up, because every time I come on the show, part of my appeal is that, like, people think I actually listen to your podcast all the time.
Yeah,
that does make you more likable, yeah.
Yep.
So to fit in and keep that ruse going that I actually listen, I listened to a couple of the recent episodes and the Dan Marino interview, right?
Yeah.
So you go into the Dan Marino interview, and when you set it up, you're always like, and you've done this before with other shitty interviews, where you're like, this interview is horrible. I don't know, guys. We're going to check this out. And I've noticed that whenever you set an interview up like that, it generates more discussion about the interview.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, people then are like, ooh, now I definitely want to listen. And then people are talking about it on Twitter a little bit more. And they're like, I didn't think it was that bad. I actually did think it was that bad. And everyone wants to talk about it. Can we do that with me? Could you, like, set this up and be like, Titus was off today.
Yeah.
He was.
We'll be like, we're not friends anymore with Titus after this interview. Yeah. And you have to listen to the end to find out why. But we seriously got into a really big.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and then people get to right now. We're going to actually leave this in. So they get to right now, and they realize that we just got him.
Yep.
You got. Like, I can't believe the racist shit he was saying. Oh, that was very strange.
And then now we're here, folks, and we still love Mark Titus, and you should still listen to One Shining Podcast. All right, Mark.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, you're man. Talk to you soon. See you, Mark.
See ya.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, let's get to some segments. Thanks to Mark Titus. Great interview.
Asshole. That was actually a good idea that he had.
Yeah, it was. Get it going. Get the people talking. Mm-hmm. Be provocative. You left that in there, right, Hank?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bachelor talk for guys that don't watch The Bachelor, even though Hank watches The Bachelor.
Absolutely not. I do not watch The Bachelor.
Okay.
Definitely didn't watch last night.
Why?
Because I was sleeping. I told Championship Hank.
Because you're retired. Right.
Yeah.
You're retired
right.
From
right.
Your vacation.
Forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
You know PFT. You.
I do. Yeah. Listen, when I got back from the Stanley
not
Cup.
Too long ago.
Yeah. I was
2016.
Pretty. 2016. Yeah. Wow. Really?
Fuck, it's 2019.
Last time,
shit.
Last time I heard that, I fell off my dinosaur.
Damn.
Heather, who had never kissed anyone in her
Duke's
life.
Year.
True. Heather, who had never kissed anyone in her life, kissed Colton on their one date in China, in Thailand.
Wait,
Hank. Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Hank.
Thailand?
Come on.
No.
Hank.
No.
Wait till Hank learns what the capital of Thailand is.
No, Hank. No.
Hank, come
do
on.
You have another
Hank.
Pronunciation for it?
Thailand.
There
yes,
you go.
There you go.
All right.
Good job, Hank.
Nice little switcheroo there. That was a hezzy hey. I didn't even listen to the question. The statement.
They kissed
in Thailand.
I read Thailand, I thought China, or I said Chiland, and then I said Thailand.
All right.
Okay, off
I'm gonna
to a hot
you,
start.
I'm going to get you a map for next, your next birthday.
Next.
So wait, so what's the thing? They kissed, they went on a date in Thailand?
Heather
together?
Has never kissed anyone. Colton's a virgin, and apparently they kissed in Thailand.
Got it.
Something's
got
to give there.
Yeah.
You got a virgin and then someone that hasn't, like, Colton probably looks down at her like everyone looks down at him. Like,
yes.
She's the virgin.
And they're in Thailand.
Elise left the show because she couldn't stand watching Colton date other women.
Well, that's a bad show to be on, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say that if it's going to trigger you to watch your man go on dates with other women, the show that has your man go on a date with 20 other women is probably a bad place for mm-hmm. you.
Yeah,
but it's good to know yourself, right? Like, know that you're jealous.
Right, I guess I am the jealous type.
Yeah. I am the jealous type, yeah.
Don't move to Utah. That's a little tip.
Onika called Nicole emotionally unstable, and Nicole called Onika a bully. Colton was so frustrated he had to take a walk on the beach, and there was no rose ceremony last night.
Oh, my God.
What?
All because of Onika and Nicole.
Damn.
They ruined it for everyone.
Everyone. God damn it.
He should have sent them both packing.
Onika and Kelly?
Nicole.
Nicole? You're being bitches. I said betch, not bitch.
Betches, yeah.
Betch.
Wait, so one called the other one...
Emotionally unstable.
Okay.
And the other one said...
She's a bully.
All right, so reading into this a little bit... I feel like...
I'm Team Onika.
I feel like the emotional one is actually the bully.
Yep.
And the bully is actually the emotional
yep.
one.
Yep, I'm
so
Team
Onika.
So
it's one of those, I'm rubber, or like, you know, you call the other person
yeah,
what you
yeah.
really are.
You're projecting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it.
That sounds like a hell of an episode.
Wow.
I think the rose ceremony was a big
controversial moment.
Yeah, you think it
was? No rose ceremony ruins your Monday night, right, Hank?
Not mine.
Okay.
People that watch the shows.
Next up, we have Mancard. This is for a cougar that was killed by a Colorado runner in a reservoir area. Yeah, reservoir open space. Horsetooth. That's a fucking badass name. Horsetooth Reservoir Open Space.
So the mountain lion was actually choked out by the runner.
Yes.
So, Hank, play the reggaeton.
Hi, I'm Joe Buck. Hand over your man card.
Yeah, we're taking that mountain lion's man card because you're a fucking wild animal. And you got killed out by, you got killed by America's most docile creature, a jogger.
Okay, but spin zone didn't tap.
Good point.
Didn't tap.
That's a very good point.
So man card back on.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, if you don't tap, if you are willing to die without tapping, I feel like you get a man card.
Okay.
You died with your man card.
Compromise. At the very least, Walmart should change all their Mountain Lion branded knockoff Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. I don't think that deserves to have Mountain Lion on it anymore, but we'll give you the man card back.
Do the Dew. It possibly weighed at least 80 pounds. That's not that big. That's not a big cat. The body of the big cat was taken to state health lab. We're giving it an autopsy now?
Well, they did that because they thought the guy lied about it. So they checked it. They checked its throat, and it was crushed. So either this guy skull-fucked the mountain lion to death or he choked it out.
Damn. What a badass.
Now, if he skull-fucked the mountain lion to death, then Mancard taken back from the mountain lion.
Yes. And that man's name? Jeff Fisher. Imagine if it was. It'd be so awesome. Mm-hmm. It'd be the greatest story ever. All right, guys on checks. We did all of our segments at the beginning. We cucked ourselves out of segments.
So, sup, PMT boys, especially Hank. Hey. So, my high school boyfriend and I are now juniors in college. For some reason, he will never go out with me and always wakes up before 6 a.m. to lift weights. He's not even that big. To mess with him, one of his friends and I always send pictures of us kissing at the bars, and one of his other friends always hits on me right in front of him. He never does anything about it. Also, one of his best friends hooked up with his little sister in high school. He never did anything about that either. What do I do?
Wait, you sound really mean.
Yeah, this is your boyfriend sounds like a really nice guy.
It sounds like he's actually doing the right thing by avoiding you at all costs.
Like he gets up, he works on bettering himself, and then all he gets in payback is just you fucking all your friends or fake fucking them.
Wait, but if she's doing it as a prank, then that's one thing.
I don't know. That seems really mean. Although the part about him lifting and not getting bigger, like he should probably stop.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to lift, no one wants to be around the guy who lifts all the time and still doesn't have muscles.
Yeah.
Like, someone needs to step in and be like, hey, bro, either start doing creatine or stop lifting.
I think that there's an elegant solution to this problem here, and that's just start making him take steroids. And it solves the getting bigger problem, and it solves the lack of aggression problem that he has with all these things.
Great point.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sup, PMT boys, especially Thick Cat. So my boyfriend and I joke around a lot about having me call him daddy or his dirty little slut, but never have during sex. I'm starting to think he actually wants me to, though. I don't want to just say it during sex in case he's not and it kills the mood. How do I find out if he wants me to?
I think you just say it. I think you just say it and be like, "This is, I'm claiming my sexuality by calling you my little slut to the guy.
Or just start saying your own father's name during sex and see what happens there. A little curveball.
Okay.
And then be like, and when he's like, what? Like, oh, I meant daddy.
Or you can start saying the heavenly father's name. Just be like, oh, God. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he'll probably like that.
Start with that. Try your dad's name, though. Just a little fun. Keep it fun.
Sup, guys, especially Chonk Cat.
Damn.
I recently got a frenulectomy, and my tongue is longer now. Any tips or tricks on giving a better BJ?
What?
Why would you ask us that?
Are you trying to be in Kiss? What the fuck?
Like, if you just got a frenulectomy,
who does that?
Why would you need any more tips?
And also, what do you get a frenulectomy for? Are you like,
she's like a snake. What if she got it forked so she could be like on both balls
at once? I've seen that shit on the A&E, like that guy who became a porcupine,
mm-hmm.
or like the guy who became Sonic the Hedgehog and he had like spikes all over him.
Yeah. I think maybe just get another frenulectomy, make it extra longer. Guys like it when chicks who have already had surgery on their tongues to make it longer, get another one to make it super long.
This is like you can do that surgery where you break every bone in your body and then they elongate it so you get taller.
I've looked at that. Mm-hmm. I've looked into it.
What do you think?
There's like an 8-month recovery process. Okay. And
could you still podcast?
You only get like three to seven extra inches off it. So I mean, I'm already six feet tall. I'm already 6 feet, so I don't need to be like a freak.
Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna pass. But yeah, just get a long, even longer tongue.
We should have actually, when Bubba got hit by that car, we should have been like, well, you're halfway, well, a quarter away there. Let's just break the rest of them and see how much longer you can get.
Apparently, doctors in the U.S. won't even perform the surgery.
What?
You have to fly overseas for That's it. I've been up. Told.
What? That would have been cool. That would have been cool.
But then you just have really long shin bones and the rest of your body is the same size.
Oh, is that true? Yeah. All legs, baby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like my upper body is, it's also small. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sup, boys. There's this guy I always see around, and we flirt, but I never knew his name. Until yesterday, after talking for a while, he finally introduced himself as the name of my most recent ex. Is this a total deal breaker?
No, it's a way to get back at him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It actually, yeah, great way to get back at him, although I could see some mishaps when it comes to sexting or texting if the names in the phone are similar.
You don't have to change your tattoos.
No, that's a good point, yeah. I think it also kind of breaks down... There'll be a shorter getting to know you period because you feel like you already do. Like every conversation feels familiar.
And you won't have that awkward, like you call your new boyfriend your ex-boyfriend's name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
But what, if his dad's not the same name, then she might accidentally call her new boyfriend, her old boyfriend's dad's name.
True.
Hey guys, especially Larry.
By the way.
Still alive.
Larry, we are on Larry 7. Is it Larry 7?
Six.
Larry 6 is... I think a week away from officially being the longest living Larry we've ever had. And coincidentally, it also is the only Larry we have personally not taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? All you people who said we were bad goldfish owners, I'm sorry for resisting that thought. You were right. Turns out you were right.
All we needed to do was just give our goldfish up for adoption.
Right.
So we left it at a firehouse in a little wicker basket with a blanket to make him comfortable.
He's
thriving.
Yeah, this is a part of growing, though, as a podcast. We know our strengths and weaknesses. Keeping animals alive, weakness.
I've started dating a guy who was my close friend the last few years. He used to tell me all his crazy sex stories, the weirdest ones being from this happy ending massage parlor he would go to. How do I get over this, and is he still getting rub and tugs?
Yes.
Mm.
The answer is yes.
If you're a rubbing, I think once a rub and tug guy, always.
Life. Yeah, it's a life thing.
Blood in, come in, come out.
Yeah, you're eventually going to own a members only jacket and like a bunch of chest hair, maybe a couple chains. It's just you're going to start betting on high ally. Like, there's a lot of things that come with that life, and it's all coming.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean it that way, but it is all coming. Like, you literally are always coming if you're a rub and tug guy.
I think he's probably also attracted to you because you know that about him. He probably thinks, since you've heard all of these stories, that you're into him being a rub and tug.
Yeah.
Guy. So if you're not into it, that's something that I think you have to get notarized and just be like, for the record, I would prefer it if you didn't, but, you know.
I prefer you not get jerked off by your masseuse.
But I can't change you.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
A cage of songbird.
I'm 8 months pregnant and listen to PMT religiously. At this point, my baby can hear and comprehend noises outside of my belly.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do I have to stop listening now so he or she doesn't come out recognizing your voice is more than my husband's?
No, I'd say you listen more.
Yeah. Put the headphones right up on the belly.
Yeah, put it up there right now.
We're better dads than your husband.
Yeah, put it up there right now. I want to say something to the kid. Santa's not real. Okay.
Oh, the Texans will never win a Super Bowl. Don't feel bad about betting your pinky.
We're your real fathers.
Okay.
Big Cat and I just mixed our spews together.
Stop. Too much. Hey, kid. Forget we said that, okay?
I was just kidding.
Yeah, we were just kidding. We'll see everyone Friday.
Love you guys.
We'll be right back. It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.